The following is a production of the Geek.io Media Network. For more geeky goodness, go to geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek.io for more information.
Incremental Android updated, new Chromebook, more material designs, and more. This is the Android Realm Podcast, episode number 222, Pixel Powered. Welcome back to the episode, everybody. Your host, as always, Headphones Neil here. A lot of different exciting things going on for this week, so I'll jump right into it. Not too much. We have a variation outside the usual, so the usual headlines, apps, and devices, and then a Chromebook. It's more of a tool, but it's also a quick tip. It's actually relatively easy to set up for yourself. It is an early release, but I will get into that as well. So with that, I will jump right into the episode. So to start it off with the headlines, Nearline is a new cloud platform service by Google. It's actually low-cost cloud storage, so if you don't have a budget for it or want to have a cloud storage, it's relatively cheap. I believe it was something like one cent per gigabyte or something along those lines, but definitely check it out if you want to get a quote for cloud storage. CyanogenMD announced this week that they're going to be building a new custom email client on top of app developer Boxer. They're the app service that made a more functional inbox service. So along the lines also of Google's inbox or even mailbox by Dropbox. So it's one of those apps to help you get it to inbox zero. So slight move away from Google services, so the stock email app and Gmail itself. So it should already be rolling out from my understanding of it, but if not, it should be coming in the next few days or so. Paranoid Android this week released Alpha 2 of version 5 of their ROM, so Paranoid Android 5 Alpha 2. It adds a few things besides bug fixes and performance updates in that they now allow you to reorder your quick tiles, and they've re-added app ops for your apps so you can have more in-depth customizations of what permissions your apps can act upon. This week, Android 5.1 was released. It fixes some bugs, adds support for multiple SIMs, device protection, and HD voice on compatible devices. Most of that is pretty self-explanatory. Device protection, though, is that if someone gets a hold of your device, then the only way to unlock it or use it is to sign up with the email address or email account that is associated with that device. In real other news, though, the Google Store has been released. It's store.google.com. It's now basically a website for all of Google's products, apps, and services. So visiting it, you can see what's on sale right now, what they offer, what specs are, and see the full range of what Google has it to offer. Google Street View got an update this week to now add Mount Everest for places you can look around at, as well as the Sherpa community, so you can check out with what it looks like if you don't have an inclination to go, or don't have a budget, or just have a general inability to actually go and check it out. In other retail news, though, Google opened a retail store in Currys PC World in Tottenham Court Road in London. It's more of a physical version of what the Google Store does, in that it was built to show up Google's app services and devices. So I think they're going to open another one coming soon, but that is the initial one in case you want a more physical place to, for example, check out a Chromebook or a Nexus 6 or something like along those lines. Chrome Beta got an update from the Canary channel in that it's going to be getting push notifications. So if there's websites or services that need to let you know of something, depends on the site, but that should be an option now. And finally, Google released the Universal Media Player app to, I believe it was to GitHub, in that this is basically a guidelines for developing media apps, and it has those references in how to develop the media app or music app across various Android platforms. So basically smartphones, tablets, AutoWare, and all of those different places. But that's all there is for that. So as far as app news for this week, Chrome got updated with the ability to pull to refresh. So if you don't want to hit your menu button and then the refresh button, you can just pull down and that will refresh the page. Nova Launcher Beta got updated with got a big overhaul, and that it now has more material design elements and UI. So definitely check that out if you do want a material design launcher that looks similar to the old Android 4 launcher, or just something that's more functional than anything else. I did update it, and it does look pretty nifty. Nothing too major, because the device that I'm using it on still does run Android 4.4, but if you do have Android 5, it takes advantage of its features. Pocket Cast got a major update this week as well. It also added more of a material design, more of the material design elements, so it does look very, very nice. Now, I did get that update. I like the way it looks. It also adds more speed adjustments, so you can more easily adjust how fast or slow your podcast play back. And also it also now has the audio boost feature. So if you have a podcast, like I do have one or two that are a little bit lower in volume than others, you can now have its volume boosted. So you don't have to have an increase in volume, and then if you have it automatically play to blow out your ears or your headphones. Hootsuite got an update as well for material design. So if you use that as your Twitter client, then it should look a lot better. And then it also improves its sync, so a little bit of a back-end update there as well. For those of you iOS users who have wanted to have a native Google Calendar app, Google Calendar released their app to iTunes, so you can now get that. I did actually always think that Google Calendar was available for iOS, but apparently not. I did notice it was missing, but thought I wasn't searching right or something when I tried to install it, but it is now available, so definitely check it out. Google Messenger got an update this week to now support animated GIFs or GIFs, depending on how you want to say it. So you can now entertain or annoy your friends that way if you want. Dropbox got an update this week with in-document search and a PDF viewer, so more native file search and viewing there. And finally, if you have an Android Wear device, Google released an app called Street Art Watch Faces. So if you want more artistic watch faces, you can definitely get that. It's kind of like an automatic refresh to make your watch face more visually appealing. And it can be customized at the moment based on digital and analog clocks and what you want as your watch face to begin with. But that is all for that. So as far as the device news for this week, Moto 360 is now available for sale on Moto Maker, so you can get those customizations as well if you want, or if you are looking, or you can decide between an Apple Watch or a Moto or a Android Wear device. You can definitely hit or check that out to see the comparisons as well as price points and things like that. And then there's also those rumors that Android Wear might soon become compatible with iOS, so definitely take that into consideration if you're trying to decide what kind of watch you want to get. Sony announced this week that they'll be releasing Android 5 for Xperia Z devices, so if you still have one of those devices, definitely check it, or look out for that update. If you own an HTC One M7 on T-Mobile, it's getting its Android 5 update, so definitely keep hitting your update button there. I saw the release date as March 10th, so by the time of this podcast, you should already be out, so definitely check it out. This week, Google announced the Chromebook Pixel 2, so it's obviously the successor to the original Chromebook Pixel. It has a bunch of hardware updates, which is basically of note. There were the obvious comparisons and the statements that it is Google's answer to the new iPad or MacBook Air, I believe. I forget the exact comparison. I wouldn't say answer to, it's more of competitor to, in that since it's so close to release, I'm sure they were working on it at the same time. So, but as far as hardware specs go, there's two models. One comes with, or they both have a 12.85-inch screen, but one comes with a Intel Core i5 processor at 2.2 gigahertz. The other comes in with an i7 processor at 2.4 gigahertz. There's 8 and 16 gigs of RAM available, 32 or 64 gigs of SSD storage, 12 hours of battery life, and supports the USB Type-C connection. It's a new USB standard for charging and USB connections, so definitely check it out. Definitely worth looking at as well. The price points are that the Intel Core i5 version runs at $999. The i7 version, I believe, is at $1,299. So, something to consider if you want a touchscreen Chromebook and basically the newer version. So, they are calling the i7 version as well the Ludicrous Speed or LS version because of, I guess, how fast it can run. It is definitely worth checking out. If I didn't have already bought my Chromebook that I own right now, I probably would have looked into these for sure. But that is all for that. So in other news, though, the Moto G2015 was released this week. It's along the same lines as hardware-wise as the last Moto G, but this one adds 4G support. For those of you who want to ROM your devices, the 2014 Moto X, Moto E, and the Oppo N3 started getting its CyanEngine Mod 12 nightlies. And finally, if you have an HTC One M8, the SkyDragon ROM was released. It runs Android 5 and Sun 7, so it adds the performance updates and things like that, as well as removing any bloatware, so you get as close to stock HTC as possible. But that is all for that. So after the short break, I'll run or jump or I'll go through the Chromebook quick tip, and that'll be that for this week's episode. So let's say you're looking at getting a new device and you want a brand new pair of headphones, or you want to browse the web safely and securely. There's lots of options. Or if you're browsing Amazon and you want to help support the show and the network, be sure to visit geek-io.net/support. We have all sorts of great sponsors to help you out with all of your tech needs. If you want some great pair of headphones, we have Tweaked Audio, where you can get a third off by using the promo code GEEK. Pro XPN, you can get a great rate by using the promo code GEEK at checkout. So definitely check it out. And if you want to help support the show and the network, can visit us or find us on Patreon at patreon.com/geekio, so you can help us help the host of the shows, help grow the network and all of that great stuff. So that's geek-io.net/support for all of our great tech needs that you may find useful, and patreon.com/geekio to help the network grow and expand. We thank all of our sponsors for our support, and we hope you show them and us your support as well. But with that, I will jump into this week's Chromebook quick tip, and that's how to get Dropbox in your Chromebook's file manager. So this is an app that was just released on March 11th, its initial release. So what it does is it installs an app that uses the file manager API that's built into Chrome to add Dropbox to your Chromebook's file manager. So what you'll need is twofold. So first, you'll need an up-to-date version of the Chrome OS, so be sure you have or you've installed the updates of late. The second is that you'll need to install the file system for Dropbox app from the Chrome Web Store. I'll have a link in the show notes so you have a direct link to that. Once you do that, what you'll do is open the app from your app drawer, and you'll click on Mount. It's the only button to click on. You'll do that, and you'll give it your credentials for Dropbox. So you essentially need a token to browse your Dropbox directory. So once you've done that and you've signed in, when you go to your file manager, you'll now see a Dropbox listing, just like as if you added an SD card to your Chromebook, and you can now browse and open files from your Dropbox account. It currently does not support offline saving, so if you do want to save something for offline use, then you'll need to copy it into your SD card folder or downloads folder, whichever one you have available, so you can view and edit and do all those kinds of things. That is really the only downside to it. The only issues I've had so far in my initial use, I have only used it for about probably a couple of hours or so not too much intensive research, but I was able to get it to work. The only issue is that it is a bit slow in certain directories, so if you do have a folder with a lot of files in it, then it will take a lot of time. I did get the pop-up saying that the operation is taking a lot of time to load. Do you want to abort? But I actually was patient, and I let it load, and it loads okay, but it is a little bit slow, so that is something to consider. I don't know if it's because it's still an initial release, or if it has something to do with the ARM processor or something along those lines, or because it's an app that's using a certain API that takes some time, but just something to consider if you are facing issues. But most smaller folders load very quickly, files load quickly, double clicking will open it, and that's pretty much all there is to that. There is that noticeable slight delay, so a little patience at the moment, but I'm sure, or I'm hoping at least with future updates, it does get fixed quickly, or at least there's speed improvements, so it does work a lot faster. But if you can't wait for to get Dropbox in your file manager, this is definitely the way to go. No major issues or crashes on my end, so that is why I'm recommending it, but the only downside is that it is relatively slow right now, so something to consider. But you can at least now have Dropbox added to your file manager, so you can browse your files, copy them, move them around, and all of that good stuff. But that is all for this particular episode of the Android Realm Podcast. So if you have any questions, comments, concerns, anything like that, you can always email me at headphonesneil@yahoo.com. You can leave me a voicemail at 714-451-6574. And you can find me on Twitter at PatelN01. And of course, you can find this show and more shows on the Geek.io network at geek-io.net. If you want to help support the show via sponsors, you can, of course, as I said, visit us at geek-io.net/support. Help support and grow the network on Patreon at patreon.com/geek-io. But that is all for this particular episode. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time.